week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Many African boys and girls dream of one day becoming a professional football player. For most of these African dreamers, a professional career is a long shot. But for some dedicated dreamers who work hard and have good coaches and good contacts, their dreams can come true. The Right to Dream Academy in Ghana has been recognized as one of the best academies in Africa for more than a decade. It's consistently produced players for the professional game, as well as student athletes for top-class academic institutions. Joining us now from Accra to tell us more is Yao Afusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Right to Dream Academy is not just a place of football. It is an institution. Most academies in Ghana run only on a football module where basic skills like communication, temperament, and character are left unchecked. But the Right to Dream Academy has gone against the norm, teaching young footballers the game, and in many cases, skills for when they decide that football might not be in their best interests. For this reason, a lot of attention is placed on developing talents as well as character of players. The academy's new CEO, Eddie Mensah, explains the importance of the academy's approach.
So we're trying to produce what I call change makers, right, through football. And so my hope for the next few years is for us to continue to do that on a much larger scale. How do we create folks who come out of this institution willing to make a big impact in the football world, but also within their own communities?
Mensah worked for years in the United States educational circuits, and most recently at the Charlotte Preparatory School before he moved to Ghana to take up the role. Mensah says the unity among staff at the academy has been one of the major hallmarks to their success.
You know, having resources are helpful for, but the other thing that's really important I find here is the people, the dedication that you find for people who are willing to put in the time and the work. If you give them the right tools to give you excellent products, right? And so it's good that we have nice fields, but there are some people who get here at 5, 6 a.m. to make sure that it's really properly manicured.
In light of hitting the right notes and selecting only the best, former Ghana international Derek Boateng was brought in to augment the scouting department. Boateng says doing this for the kids gives him unbridled joy.
To go around to find these kids is really, really nice for me, because during my career when I was playing, I know how I came from a difficult situation, you know, and after moving to Europe, I thought that kind of things are not there anymore until I started scouting. And if I tell you the places we go and find some of these kids, it's really, really sad. A lot of them, their background is really, really bad, you know. It's not pretty at all. So for us to find them and bring them here and to do what they really love to do is everything to me, you know.
The Right to Dream Academy has been in Ghana for over a decade. 10 years of increasing the football talent pool in Ghana. 10 years of unmatched quality. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Now let's go to South Africa, where Sarah Kumalo, the first Black African woman to conquer Mount Everest, appears to have set a Guinness World Record for the most money raised during an 8-hour stationary cycling fundraiser. She will use the money to build digital libraries for rural children whose education has been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Franco Puglisi reports from Johannesburg.
From the highest peak of Mount Everest to a stationary bicycle, South African Sarah Kumalo is breaking new records. The first Black African woman to summit the world's tallest mountain in 2019, Kumalo gave herself a new challenge, breaking a Guinness World Record for charity. Through 8 hours of stationary cycling, Kumalo raised nearly 44,000 US dollars to build digital libraries for South Africa's rural students whose education suffered when schools closed due to the pandemic.
I think we can't afford to leave any children behind. If you look at what happened with the lockdown and COVID-19, schools that did not have digital material to support their students were really locked down. Students were struggling, and we can't afford that.
Each digital library will have a mobile tablet computer with curriculum-based application and teacher training modules. Education Aid Group iSchool Africa helped fundraise for Kumalo under a team's attempt on October 25th to break the Guinness World Record. Michelle Lissus is director of the group.
We worked in partnership with the schools, with donors, with sponsors to really change the way we teach and learn and to look for solutions in a very challenging environment.
After 8 hours of spinning, Kumalo and her team felt confident, said team member Cindy van Veek.
It was an awesome, awesome, awesome day. And at about around 1 o'clock, Sarah and I knew that we had broken the world record. Because it's for the children, it's for the children of this beautiful country.
While falling short of their personal goal to raise about 62,000 US dollars, Kumalo says she will keep fundraising until they reach the peak of their goal, to build 9 digital libraries for South African children. Franco Puglisi for VOA News, Johannesburg.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In more African football news, Nigeria is preparing for a Nations Cup qualifying match against visiting Sierra Leone on November 13th in Benin City. The Super Eagles of Nigeria currently top Group L in Nations Cup qualifying with the maximum 6 points from 2 matches. Benin has 3 points, followed by Lesotho and Sierra Leone with 1 each. Baba Femi Raji is the new media officer of the Super Eagles. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Femi, when will Nigeria's training camp open?
Yeah, the Super Eagles camp for the AFCON qualify against the Leone Stars of Sierra Leone will officially open on Monday, the 9th of November. Already arrangement has been made in that regard. Earlier on, there was an advance party sent from the NFF to indeed secure where the players and the entire team will stay. So everything is set for that. The players will start arriving from the 9th. On Sunday, the 8th, we expect us, the officials and backroom staff, to already be there to welcome the players as they start arriving from their respective bases. So it's all about the game against the Leone Stars of Sierra Leone. It's an AFCON 2022 qualifier. It's a crucial one. And the team is ready. From Monday, we'll start expecting and start seeing what will happen from there. The coach is in town, Gennaro Raw, and then I'm sure we'll get more brief from Gennaro Raw, and then we'll take it up from there.
Do you know if the Super Eagles AFCON qualifier against the Leone Stars of Sierra Leone will play behind closed doors?
Yeah, Mike, on the issue of the game, whether it will be played with fans or without fans, the main fact here is discussions are still on in this regard. Discussions are still on in this regard. The NFF is still in talks with the NCDC, the Presidential Task Force on COVID-19, that's the PTF, the Edo State Government, the Ministry of Youth and Sports Development. So discussions are still ongoing in this regard. We understand that fans want to see the Eagles play. They want to see their players live in action
Everybody knows that. We feel that too. But again, we must also consider safety. So we just wait to see what happens as discussions continue in this regard. But remember, Mike, it is safety first. COVID-19 is still real. COVID-19 is still in existence. The coronavirus pandemic is still on. We know in some places there's been the second wave. So definitely we know we have a lot. All right, there are still, but let's still wait for official communication after discussions between the NFF, the NCDC, the PTF, the Ministry of Youth and Sports Development, and the Edo State Government.
Can you tell Sunnyside of Sports listeners if journalists will be allowed to cover the match?
Yes, Mike, journalists will be allowed to cover this game, but limited number of journalists. And the communications department of the Nigeria Football Federation will indeed accredit a certain number of journalists to cover this, still in line with our health protocols. It's still the COVID-19 era, so we understand that. So, but journalists will be around to cover the games. There will be accredited journalists. However, it will be a limited number of journalists that will be allowed in to cover this particular match, especially the one in Benin City between the Super Eagles of Nigeria and the Lion Stars of Sierra Leone. So again, limited number of journalists will be allowed into the Samuel Ogbemudia Stadium to cover the game between the Super Eagles of Nigeria and the Lion Stars of Sierra Leone.
That's Babafemi Raji, the new media officer of Nigeria's national men's football team, the Super Eagles. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos.
Sporty greetings. This is Babafemi Raji, media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America! Joining us once again on the show is Dan Friedel, a frequent contributor to the Sunny Side of Sports. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. It's always good to talk to you and have a chance to talk about something a little bit different than a game result today.
Yes, Dan, let's talk election results. We still don't know who the next president of the United States will be, but we do know some former athletes ran for election or re-election. But let's backtrack a bit, Dan. Who are some notable former athletes who became politicians?
Well, Sonny, obviously, when you spend a lot of time in the first phase of your life as an athlete in the United States, you get a lot of attention, you get a lot of name recognition, you get a lot of media exposure, your name is in the headlines. As a 15 or 16-year-old, you're probably talking with reporters about high school basketball or football games or track and field events. So the comfort is there in public life from a pretty early age. I mean, I've covered high school athletes who go on to play their sport in college, and they're comfortable talking to an adult about a baseball game they just played or a football game they just played. And so that charisma certainly carries on to a college career and a potential professional career where they're used to talking to reporters. And if you're playing a football game, like if you're playing in the Super Bowl or you're playing in the NBA championship, millions of people know your name. And that can certainly turn into the stepping stone for a big political career if that's something you're interested in. So one of the people that I wanted to mention who often would come up was Jim Bunning, who was a baseball pitcher. He had a pretty extended baseball career, and his highlight was as a member of the Philadelphia Phillies in 1964, he pitched a perfect game, which means he pitched the entire game without allowing any base runners. And when he retired, he was one of the top strikeout pitchers in baseball history. And Jim Bunning grew up in Kentucky, and he wound up working his way up through state politics, and he became a congressman and a senator from Kentucky. Now, one of the most important figures in American politics these days is Mitch McConnell, who is a senator from Kentucky. So our listeners who might not know a lot about Kentucky as a U.S. state probably have heard about Mitch McConnell's involvement in politics. So you can be a senator from Kentucky and play a major role in shaping policy in the United States. Another notable athlete that some of our basketball fans might know of is Bill Bradley, who was a great basketball player in high school and college. He wound up going to Princeton University in New Jersey, and he was one of the best players in college basketball in the 1960s. At one point, he made 57 consecutive free throws. He went on to be a member of the USA team at the Olympics and helped that team win the gold medal in Tokyo in 1964. And then he wound up winning two NBA titles with the New York Knicks and turned that name recognition into a long career in the U.S. Senate representing New Jersey. And he actually tried to become the Democratic Party's presidential nominee in 2000. The nominee eventually was former Vice President Al Gore, who lost in the election, another heavily contested election 20 years ago to George W. Bush. And in the news, I'm sure our listeners have been following the news in the United States this fall. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, one of the Supreme Court justices selected by President Clinton, she died earlier this year. And the position that she took on the Supreme Court in the 1990s when Clinton nominated her was the one that was held by an outstanding football player from the state of Colorado, Byron White. His nickname was Whizzer. Byron White was a great athlete in the 1930s and eventually worked on some of the political campaigns of President John F. Kennedy as a lawyer and was nominated by John F. Kennedy to the Supreme Court in 1962. And he held that position before the position was taken by Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the 1990s.
Dan, your mention of Bill Bradley reminds me of another former basketball player turned politician, Tom McMillan. He has some local ties to the Washington, D.C. area, and I think he also served in the U.S. Congress at the U.S. Capitol building, located just a few blocks from our Voice of America headquarters.
That's right, Sonny. Tom McMillan was a Democrat and represented Maryland's 4th District in the late 80s and the early 90s. McMillan then went on to work with the University of Maryland system, working in higher education. So kept up that high academic reputation after having been a Rhodes Scholar in his college career.
What about this year, Dan? Who are some athletes who were running for election or re-election in 2020?
Really, the most interesting person with an athletic background. Pundits were curious to see if the Democrats, along with Joe Biden, could support a change in the U.S. Senate and change the majority in the Senate from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party. And one of the Senate seats that was in contention was in Alabama. And the Republican candidate was Tommy Tuberville, who was best known as the Auburn University football coach. And he wound up winning that election to help the Republicans in their quest to maintain the dominance in the Senate. Tuberville was a coach for about 20 years, started off with the University of Mississippi, and then had his greatest success with Auburn University, which is in Alabama. He had an undefeated season at Auburn in 2004 when the Tigers went 13-0. And he also coached at Texas Tech and the University of Cincinnati. So that Senate seat is the one that's been contested often in the last 4 years because Jeff Sessions was nominated to become attorney general when Donald Trump became president. And they had to have a runoff for that Senate seat, which was won by the Democrat, Doug Jones. Jones was in that position for about 3 years, and he lost in his attempt to be elected again to Tuberville. You know, football, Sonny, in this country is such a big deal that any little bit of success that you have in football can propel you to a career in politics if you're interested.
Dan, I'm actually interested in Ohio. I know you have strong ties to that state and you support some of the sports teams there. What about sports political connections in Ohio, Dan?
Well, you know, it's interesting that Ohio politicians have big sports connections. A couple of the other politicians that were worth mentioning are Jim Jordan. He is a Republican congressman from Ohio. He was a champion wrestler for the University of Wisconsin, almost made it to the Olympics in 1988. And another congressman is Anthony Gonzalez, who was an Ohio State wide receiver. And he wound up playing for the Indianapolis Colts in the NFL for a few years. And he's a congressman who won re-election to his seat in a district that's on the south side of Cleveland, Ohio. And Tim Ryan is a congressman who represents a district a little bit east and south of Cleveland, not too far from where I grew up. And Tim Ryan is a couple years older than I am, but his high school and my high school played in a high school football playoff game in the early 1990s. And his team was so good. Even though our team was pretty good, too, his team was really good. And they wiped the field up with us. Ryan got injured, but I think at one point he was thinking of going to Youngstown State University to be a quarterback. And one final football player that's worth mentioning is Cory Booker. Cory Booker is the senator from New Jersey, African-American, who played football for Stanford University in the early 1990s. And I was just watching some highlights of him on YouTube catching some passes against the University of Notre Dame in a game that Stanford wound up winning in that season, an upset victory for the Stanford Cardinal. Cory Booker, the tight end, had two of his 20 career catches in that game. And it looked pretty good, moved pretty well for a big guy. You wouldn't have thought that seeing Cory Booker on TV these days, that he was a burly tight end for Stanford in the early 1990s.
Finally, Dan, a lot of the names you mentioned played either football or basketball, team sports. Do you think team sports better prepare you for a career in politics than, say, an individual sport like tennis?
Sonny, I'd say that probably makes a lot of sense. Certainly, the value of something like an Olympic medal to name recognition is huge. If you're on TV during the Olympics and you get a big welcome from your hometown, you get to show off that medal, that keeps your name in the headlines for years afterward. But there's no doubt about it. I mean, somebody who's able to be a leader on a football team or a basketball team certainly has that charisma, the spirit that is needed to be a leader. And, you know, when you can lead your team back from a deficit, maybe not as the one who's making the key three-pointer, but perhaps facilitating the win by playing really good defense or making a pass to an open teammate, I think that does show that you have the ability to get involved in politics and successfully build a coalition and lead a team. I think that's a pretty good theory about why athletes sometimes turn to politics.
Thanks, Dan. That's Dan Friedell.
November 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend, everyone.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. Believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat.
African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to dumbolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.